Righteous lips are the delight of kings, and they love him that speaketh right. Now, if you look again at verses 10 and 12 of this chapter, you see a theme. And in also verse 14, remember verse 10, a divine sentence is in the lips of the king. His mouth transgresseth not in judgment. Verse 12, it is an abomination to kings to commit wickedness, for the throne is established by righteousness. Whatever throne it is, it may not be a righteous throne in the sense of practical the behavior of the king on this earth, but it was established by him who is righteous, and he'll use it for his righteousness and his justice and his judgment. And so you see now verse 13, righteous lips are the delight of kings. So we see in verses 10 and 12 that kings themselves are to speak and to do righteously. That's what they're given authority to do. And a true king will. A true king will do that. But most importantly, we saw that there's only one true king. Just one. Now in our text, we see that not only does a true king do and speak righteousness, but he loves those that do. He loves those that do. The earthly application of all of these is pretty clear. We've seen in each case, you know, the earthly application. And that's pretty clear here. Obviously, if a king gets bad information, then he's going to make bad judgments. So he loves those that tell the truth. The Lord uses these clear principles that are true in everyday life to teach us spiritual lessons, spiritual truths that can only be rightly understood if he gives us light. We can understand and see in our head the application of this in our lives, but we'll only see the spiritual truth of it if the Lord does something in our hearts. He's got to reveal it to our hearts. An earthly king, in all of his human limitations, all of his human fallibility, relies on good and accurate reporting from his servants, from his confidants, from his advisors, as well as he relies also on truthful accounts from witnesses in a potentially criminal case or in disputes between the subjects of his kingdom that he has to settle. He needs the right information. He needs to know what happened if he's going to make a judgment on it. If he's going to settle these matters with wisdom and justice, then he needs that accurate information. And that's the earthly lesson here. What's the end result of that? And we'll ask this question with regard to the spiritual application of this. What is the end result of it? Well, it's that all of the subjects of the king can be confident that justice will be served for them and that law and order will be maintained. And that's important. And I'm thankful to the Lord for those who keep law and order. Even with as much corruption as there is in the political circles of our country and every country, and even in law enforcement, there's some corruption. But though that be true, where would we be without law and order? You get little glimpses of it now and then, don't you? And it ain't good. I don't want that. I thank the Lord for them, generally speaking, of course. And what a blessing it is. But the Lord Jesus Christ, the one King of Kings. There's just one of those. But listen to what Paul called him in 1 Timothy 6:15. I remembered this word and this verse. And And he makes it pretty clear here. When I say there's just one true king, that's what Paul said. 1 Timothy 6:15, and he calls him the blessed and only potentate. The word potentate means a royal, a ruler with great authority. A ruler with great authority. The blessed and only potentate, the King of Kings and Lord of Lords. That's what Paul called him. 1 Timothy 6:15. He does not have any limitations. He does not have any fallibility. He does not have any shortcomings. He is the perfect king, the all-wise king, the all-powerful king, with all authority. He doesn't need any advisors of any kind, no counselors. He asked the question, who's going to be my counselor? He is the counselor himself. So how does our text apply to Christ then, if he has none of that? Well, the Lord Jesus doesn't need anyone to tell him the truth, but he uses men to tell his truth to his subjects. And so the same truth in our text applies. He delights in those that tell the truth for a different reason. An earthly king delights in that because it's necessary in order to make decisions, to make rulings on things, to make judgments on things. The Lord Jesus sends these messengers because he has made righteous judgments. And he wants everybody to know them. And they're going to know them. They're going to. He doesn't delight in those who speak the truth because he needs to hear the truth, but because you need to hear it. Think about that for a second. He delights in those that tell the truth, just like earthly kings do. But not because he needs to know it, but you need to know it. I need to know it. He doesn't receive truth, he dispenses truth. But in both cases, the one who tells it is a delight. Whoever tells it, whether you need it or you're the one telling it, or the one who is the truth and who is sending out the message of truth, the one who tells it is a delight, and he'll be loved by God and men. Not very many men, but the ones that count. The ones that count will love him. And as I always say, this is not just preachers, but God does give preachers and teachers, pastors, for this, but he also gives parents for this. He raises up a mom and dad to tell the truth and delights in that. He raises up witnesses for his son, witnesses of his gospel, those who tell forth the glories, the glorious gospel of the blessed God, he says he committed to our trust. And when it's told now, he delights. He loves those that tell it. And he raises them up that he might delight in them. He doesn't find people like that. He makes people like that. He's not looking around for somebody truthful so he can use them. He raises up those who are truthful and gives them his truth and holds them up in the telling of it. He said, "Lo, I'm with you always. You go tell everybody everything I've told you. And I'm with you." They're not holy in themselves, but they're given a holy message. They're not reliable in themselves, but they have a message upon which you can rest your eternal soul. They have no authority of their own. But they have a message straight from the throne of God. And what is the end result? All of the subjects of the king know that God is just and justifies sinners. They all know that. All of his subjects do. If they don't, they're going to. They know that the Lord is absolutely sovereign, and he doeth according to his will in the armies of heaven and among the inhabitants of this earth, and that none can stay his hand or say unto him, what doest thou? And all of his subjects know that because he sent his messengers with that message, and they tell it like that. They all do. What's the end result of his message going out and him having men that tell the truth, that speak rightly, as our text puts it? All of his servants know that he does all things well. Because they speak right, everybody that hears them with ears of faith know that God is right. That he's God. And beside him there's none else. They know who God is when his servants speak right, because those he sends do speak right. And they know that his gospel of his Son is faithful and true. They know that they can trust him when he says, I will, I will, I will. They know that he will. When he says, I did, they know he did. When he says he obtained eternal redemption for his people, they know that he did. They know that God sent his Son to be the propitiation for our sins. And so they know that the lies of Antichrist religion are just that, lies. They know lies when they hear them, don't they? Why? Because God's messengers speak that which is right. And they, just as God who sends them, they delight in them that speak right. They know that they can safely delight in the successful Savior because God himself delights in him. You know, it's hard to even, with men anymore, you start liking somebody, you know, you start delighting in somebody. In the words of our text, you say, boy, that's a great person, and then you find out they're not. Real quick. Well, you can delight in him and not worry about that because God delights in him. The King delights in him. And those who tell his gospel, they delight in them too. Compare our text to this passage I'm about to read. Listen to the text again. Let me read it to you. Righteous lips are the delight of kings. And they love him that speak right. And remember all of these proverbs right here together that speak concerning kings. They're talking about earthly matters, but so that we will understand spiritual truth about the king. Notice that these kings are, boy, they're righteous, aren't they? Well, we know that's not true of earthly kings. It's talking about the King of Kings, ultimately. Though there's earthly application to these things. We know who it's talking about. So think about that. Those who speak right are the delight of kings, and the kings love them. Listen to this. 2 Corinthians 2:14. Now thanks be unto God, which always causeth us to triumph in Christ. Now as we read on in this passage, you're going to know that what Paul is talking about is the preaching of the gospel. When Paul and others who preached the gospel, when they did, it's a win, he said. It's always a win. It's a triumph. It's a victory. So I want you to notice these key words. Why don't you turn over there? We've got 10 minutes. 2 Corinthians 2, verse 14. I think this will stay with you better if we look at it. 2 Corinthians 2:14. Second Corinthians 2:14. Now thanks be unto God, which always causeth us to triumph. We don't win because we're better than other men or other so-called preachers or any of that. We don't win because we're well prepared, though we ought to be, and I hope I am. We don't win because we're strong in the faith or know more than other people know. We win because He causes it. Never miss just the simple key words in Scripture that just boil the truth down now. He causes us to triumph, and so we triumph. And maketh man. Here's what a win is. What does it mean to win? Well, we make manifest the savor of His knowledge by us in every place. He makes His knowledge manifest by us. That's how He does it. He's not going to speak to you in a dream or a vision. The Ethiopian eunuch said, "How can I understand what God wrote unless some man should guide me?" Because that's how God does it. Look, here's what a win is. Verse 15, "For we are unto God, the King delights." We're unto God a sweet savor of Christ. We are, that's why He loves us. And we're a sweet savor of Christ unto Him because He loves us. He loves us, so He makes us a sweet savor of Christ when we preach. And when we do that, He loves us because we did it. That's my God now. His love is both the cause and the effect. You name me one other thing in this world that is both cause and effect, but the love of God. To the one we are the savor of death unto death, and to the other the savor of life unto life. We know that. We know not everybody's going to believe. And who is sufficient for these things? Life and death hangs in the balance this morning. Your soul hangs in the balance, and mine too. For we are not as many which corrupt the word of God, but as of... Here's our text again. We tell it right. We tell it right. Sincerity. By God's grace, we don't use enticing words of man's wisdom, but we speak by the power of God. Because He speaks through His servants, but as of God, in the sight of God, speak we in Christ. He causes it. Everybody wins that knows Him and loves Him and believes on Him. And it's a triumph whether you do or not. Because to God, it's a sweet-smelling savor when Christ is preached. That's just clear, isn't it? And that's our text. I didn't even have to expound it, did I? God did it for us. The Lord preached it for us, didn't He? And what a happy, happy arrangement this is. What a happy arrangement when the King sends a messenger. And by the grace and power of that King, that messenger tells it right. And everybody delights, you and God and me. What a happy arrangement. God causes it. God delights in it. And Christ is the subject of it. And may it ever be so in this place. Amen. Amen.